You're listening to RTR FM 92.1. This is the Perth Indie Media Radical Radio Show. And on the phone with us now, we have Dean Collard from the Yiriyarkin Theatre. He's the chairperson there. And we're going to be talking a bit about the very historic native title claim that was decided upon last week. How are you going, Dean?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alan.
It's great stuff, isn't it? Great news.
Wonderful.
How do the Noongar folks in Perth feel about such a decision?
Well, I think there's a great deal of euphoria in the last week about the decision, and I think it's recognised the living culture, and that's good for us.
Okay, now there's a lot of hysteria going on about all of this, about backyards, beaches, and parks being invaded, being controlled by Aboriginal people, and that sort of ridiculous fear campaign going on. What do you say to that sort of stuff?
Well, it's one of the reasons why we're trying to organise a gathering tomorrow at Parliament House, and we have a number of speakers at the event tomorrow, both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal. And clearly we want to demonstrate the fallacy of those sorts of assertions by, you know, so-called responsible government ministers in the state and at the federal level.
Yeah, it was interesting hearing Philip Ruddock's going on about the beaches. If that's all, that's pretty much all the pick he could come up with.
Well, it's consistent with the sorts of nonsense that, you know, the federal government has been speaking over the last several years, engendering a fear campaign against anything that goes against their sorts of policies. But, you know, clearly I hope there are thinking people in Australia that this is a benefit for all people.
So what does it actually mean for the Noongar people, for yourself? I mean, how does that relate? What does it relate? Because a lot of people are saying that, well, why bother if it's innocuous?
Well, it's not. The spirit of that decision affirms the existence of a culture that is living. It's dynamic. It's there today. It recognises the activities of that culture by, you know, the spiritual connection to the land. And I think all those things are important to the spirit. And those sorts of affirmations, you know, I think it begins a healing process. So it means a great deal for us as Aboriginal people.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned the spiritual connection to the land that Aboriginal people have.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the sort of rhetoric that our ministers are putting forward is coming from a very European point of view when it comes to land.
Well, it is. And look, there's been 200 years of history of denial by governments in this country. And, you know, clearly an instrument of the of Australia has determined that culture still exists in Perth and the surrounding areas, and, you know, clearly that's good for us. Our spirit needs to hear those sorts of affirmations, and we would wish the state government and federal government get behind those sorts of decisions and not create an atmosphere of, you know, some fear and, you know, engender those sorts of campaigns. It doesn't do anyone any good at all.
Yeah, 'cause it's coming from a very much a perspective of, you know, now there is some form of land rights acknowledged, that this in turn means that our private property is threatened. But do you think that, you know, the Indigenous people in Perth and Fremantle actually have a different view of land, and it's more about recognition or respect than actual property?
Well, clearly we've been treated as second-class citizens, you know, for a very long time, and we've been forced to assimilate into a society that is non-Aboriginal, and you know, we've had to survive under difficult circumstances to keep our culture and our language and ways of doing business, and that's been a very hard row for many of our leaders in the past, and many of our warriors in the past have stood up and you know, said that we need to keep that struggle going, and there are a lot of good people in Perth today, a lot of good Aboriginal people that have continued that struggle, and it's a great affirmation for them.
G'day. It's going on what Mr. Ruddock's had to say. He almost seems to think that native title means ownership, and that the Noongar people could fence off areas and say, this is ours now, no one else can walk into it. So I was wondering if you could just say a few words about what native title actually entails, because we don't get a lot of that in much of the media actually explaining. They prefer to leave it a mystery so people can fear. So if you could say a few words about that.
Well, yeah, look, and that's the problem. They make those sorts of assertions, and you know, attempt to spread that atmosphere of a little bit of fear about their backyards and the beaches and so on, and public parks and public places. And really that's not the case. It was not the intent of that decision to suggest in any way that, you know, Noongar people would have authority. I think native title is extinguished on public places and certainly on land that people own and whatever. There might be some places that belongs to the Crown that we would negotiate in terms of management and the continuation of our right to hunt and so on, that you know, the Noongar people would want to you know, make clear about. But for the greater part, what it means in the metropolitan area and its effect on the rest of the community is very little.
So do you think it's more of a symbolic win?
I think the symbolic recognition of Noongar culture is the most important thing. It's, you know, it's in the system that culture still exists, and that does a great deal for our spirit to know that our, you know, that an external system affirms the, you know, a living culture, its language, its elders, its, as I said, its ways of doing business. That gives us a very strong bargaining point to negotiate with the system. We've not had that before, so, you know, clearly, in other ways, it's very important for Aboriginal people, that decision that's made by the High Court.
Yeah, I think it was Pearson, or it might have been Mundine, or one of the Eastern State politicians that talked about it not really. I forgot what I was going. You got a question there, right? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, have you actually noticed in the days since the case has been finished, have you noticed much of a change in regards to sort of the empowerment of local Indigenous people in the communities?
Well, I think that's a continuing process. We're talking about an oppressed race of people that, you know, suffered horrible hardships by different governments over a, you know, a couple of hundred years, and you know, but there's an indomitable spirit in the Aboriginal community that that must be recognised. It has not extinguished our you know, our spirit and our culture under very extreme difficult circumstances. It's been recognised that we've kept our culture. It's alive. And that's a matter for great celebration, and again, it's one of the reasons why we're having the gathering of our Noongar people and also non-Aboriginal people that we hope to attend the gathering tomorrow.
Yeah, I dare say there'll be many people there tomorrow. That sounds like a good little time there.
Oh, well, yeah, we really hope. It's again, we would be pursuing the point, negotiation rather than litigation. And there needs to be some kind of reciprocal wisdom that exists in the government, you know, halls of authority and power to listen carefully to, you know, any approach that's made by Aboriginal people and Noongar people and, you know, work out a process that's reciprocal and has respect in it. And, you know, I think this could be a benchmark for how other land claims might be dealt with in Australia.
Indeed. Well, it's sitting right up there with Mabo, Wick and the Yorta Yorta. And now Noongar, that's what I was getting at before.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, this is a metropolitan claim. It's the first one in Australia. Mm. So, I mean, that's an extraordinary decision. And again, it paints to the absolute tenacity and strong spirit of Noongar people in this country that they have kept their culture and language. And, you know, the government and its advisers and lawyers were extremely surprised that it's been proven in court that Noongar culture exists.
Indeed. So, all right, well, so I suppose you welcome people to come down tomorrow to Parliament House.
Oh, we'd love to extend an invitation to all Perth people to come down and listen to some rational debate. We hope to have ceremony there and language and dances and, you know, young ones. We invite, you know, the young Aboriginal people to come and you know, members of the wider community. We think it's a great opportunity to, you know, to reconcile and come together.
Excellent. That's 12 o'clock yes. At Parliament House tomorrow.
Well, it starts at 12 o'clock, so 12 to 2. The Premier won't be here. He's advised us that he won't be here, be in the Eastern States. But
gone to the footy. He's gone to the
we
footy,
hope to
he?
Have Carol Martin make an address, and perhaps Eric Ripper will be making some comments as well. But certainly there will be a number of Noongar Nation speakers, and Glenn, young Glenn from the Noongar South West Land and Sea Council will be making a statement in terms of the more technical aspects of that decision tomorrow as well.
Excellent.
Well, right. Yeah, thanks very much, Dean,
for joining
us tonight. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you very much.
Good on you, mate. Cool. Bye-bye.